Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, Senior Analyst with the Wall Street Analyst. And joining us today is Bill Pearson, the CEO of Castalian Resources. The company trades on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol is CT, as well as on the OTCQX, ticker symbol is TIIF. Thanks for joining us today, Bill.
My pleasure.
Great. And now, starting off, give us a brief history and overview of the company for some of our listeners that are new to your story.
Sure. Be pleased to. Well, Castalian is a junior gold exploration and development company. We're focused on gold projects in Canada. And our flagship property is the Hopebrook Gold Project, which is in Newfoundland, in southwestern Newfoundland, very mining-friendly jurisdiction. Last year, we produced our maiden resource on the property, and which we updated in October, and more recently, we did a 6,000-meter drill program in the fall, which I'll pleased to update you on. Our second asset, which I think is of interest to your investors, is the Canadian Creek property in Yukon. It's adjacent Caminex coffee property, which recently reported a 3.2 million ounce inferred NI 43-101 resource. We have a very strong management and technical team. I'm a geologist by background, almost 40 years in the business. Been fortunate in working on several major successes, including Jacobina, which was with Desert Sun, that was sold to Yamana for $735 million in 2006. And I also put together all the exploration picture and expanded the resources in Nicaragua and Limón and Libertad that was taken over by B2, and they're now a $1.6 billion company. So we think we have an excellent project, a great team, and we're also in a very good political jurisdiction. And we have substantially moved Hopebrook forward, and we think that we are certainly one of the juniors that people should look at as being a very undervalued situation.
Certainly. Well, yeah, in terms of Hopebrook, can you bring us up to speed on the recent joint venture with Orion Gold and some of the intersects there at the connector zone?
Yeah, absolutely. This was a really great opportunity for us. Orion Gold, basically what the deal was they had the right to earn a 10% interest in the Hopebrook property for funding a $2 million exploration program. Because it was a flow-through funded program, we had to do this work by the end of last year, and our team did an extraordinary job executing this program in a short period. We started on November 3rd, and we finished on December 21, pulled out all the crews on the 22nd before Christmas. Now, it was a much different program than we have done previously, because we really stepped out and we explored by drilling six major target zones that we had identified over a strike length of 3.4 kilometers. So the 80% of this drilling was outside of our current resource. And the idea was to figure out which of these targets warranted further drilling. And we were looking for the potential for a major expansion of our resources. And the program was very, very successful in outlining a very extensive near-surface target zone that's about 900 meters southwest of the former mine. I should point out that actually, too, in all of these targets, we did 21 holes. We had two holes that unfortunately caved short of the target, but 19 of those hit the mineralized structures within meters of where we predicted it. So we've really got from our geological and geophysical interpretation, we have these zones wired. So we're really looking where to go within this extensive structure. So this near-surface zone It's very interesting because one of the things that had puzzled us is there was shallow historical drilling over this general area, but the holes didn't have very much. But what we discovered from our new drilling and our geophysical work was there was actually a big fold structure in there, and this fold structure never got to surface. In fact, it basically closes about 50 to 75 meters below surface. So all these historical holes that everyone has assumed had tested the zone, in fact, were too shallow and probably too far north. And if any of your investors are interested, have a look at our presentation and look at the long section. And you'll see what is significant here is this is above a target area we call the 240 zone. And essentially, it's undrilled until our current drilling. And we had several good holes in there with 1.5 grams of 14 meters, 2 grams over 8 meters, 1.44 over 2.9, 1 gram over 8.5, which when we're looking at a potential open pittable cutoff grade or a 0.5 are very good. And also, it's important to remember, too, that with these wide-spaced holes, our focus is making sure the silicified zones are there, and that we certainly accomplished that in spades. So what's the big upside here? Well, right now, our constraining shell in terms of indicated and inferred resource has about 800,000 ounces. There's actually quite a lot of out-of-pit resource, which is above 0.5 grams, but of course doesn't show up in the resource statement because it's outside the constraining shell. So if we have success in this near surface target zone, there's good potential to outline substantially more potentially open pit resource. And in fact, it certainly wouldn't be unreasonable to believe that it could potentially as much as double it. And then obviously in addition to that, there's the underground potential. I think the other thing is that is really important is we really advanced our geological thinking. Remember, you know, our previous drilling, we focused on the former mine area principally. This time we stepped out so that we have holes over almost 3.5 kilometers. So we now have a better appreciation for the overall structure. We've been able to use our geophysics combined with the drilling to more accurately outline where we think these silicified zones go. And in particular, we've got some very good ideas on what's controlling the high grade. So I think the bottom line is, if you ask me, well, where do we go from here? You know, I think realistically, we're probably one drill program, 8,000 or 10,000 meters away. If we have success in this near surface target zone, and obviously all our other targets are open, you know, we can substantially boost this resource, and it will certainly make this project bring it to a stage where I think it'll be able to, you know, support a PEA. So this was a huge program for us. And right now we are busy compiling all the information. We're redoing all our geological model, doing a detailed interpretation of the whole thing. And we will be planning the next phase of drilling, and it will be even better targeted than what we did in November, December.
Well, certainly a lot going on there. And last time we didn't cover we didn't speak much about the Canadian Creek project. Can you talk about that and which you have a 60% interest?
Yeah, we're earning a 60% interest into that. We've completed the exploration requirements, and we have a couple of payments left. What we did, we didn't do any work last year, but we did quite an extensive program in 2011. We filled out all the soil geochemical coverage. That's, of course, been the very successful technique in the Yukon. That's how ones like Underworld and Kaminak were discovered by Sean Ryan. And it's because the Yukon, this area in the Yukon is rather unique in Canada in that it's not glaciated. So when you find a geochem anomaly, it usually hasn't moved very far. So we filled out all the soil geochem coverage. We did a detailed magnetic survey. And we also did some limited IP, induced polarization. And the picture that came out is very exciting. I mean, we basically have a soil geochemical anomaly that's about 7.5 kilometers long by about a couple of kilometers wide. The magnetics indicate there's a major structure running through the middle of the property where this anomaly is around. This structure, of course, runs right through Casino, which is just to the east of us. And, you know, it certainly looks like we've got a very, very interesting gold environment. Just to the north of us, Kamenec did some limited drilling on their sugar trend, hit some low-grade results. It shows there is some gold around, and my understanding is that they will do some more work in there next year. So the entire environment there is very prospective geologically. There is some old drilling there that had some narrow intersections, a couple of meters with 2-3 grams, and also some wide lower-grade intersections of half a gram over 50 meters. So there's definitely gold around, and there's also some significant oxide gold over there in Casino. So it's a very, very interesting project. Obviously, big news in the area was Kamenec coming out with its first resource, which was just over 3 million ounces and in inferred. And I think with the recent change in management there, you'll see them moving more from a potential production point of view. Casino to the east came out with a new feasibility study that looks more attractive. So this project has been a bit of a sleeper in our portfolio. I'm very enthusiastic about it, and you know, I'm hoping next year, or this year I should say, that we'll be able to do some work, because I certainly like what I see geologically and in terms of you know, the mineralization already recognized, as well as the scale of the system. It's certainly a major system there.
Certainly, and so in terms of some of the trends right now, can you expand on some of the market trends in the sector and what makes you guys uniquely positioned to capitalize on them?
Well, I think that, as everyone knows, it's been a very very tough market. I mean, really, most of 2012, everyone had the same problem that anytime you put out news, your stock price went down. I think for investors looking in the sector now, it's certainly been beaten down, so that you see there are a number of companies with good assets. We certainly count ourselves as one of them, that I think are the ones to watch, in that companies that have solid projects, have the management and technical wherewithal to move these projects forward, and are in good political jurisdictions, ultimately this sector will turn around. The global demand for resources is not going down. Certainly the demand for gold isn't. You know, we're in an unusual period here where the economic indicators such as gold price, and there's really nothing wrong with a $1,650 gold price. It's actually very good compared to, you know, even just a few years ago. The Dow is just over 14,000, so it seems very much that the U.S. economy is starting turning around, and of course that's has tremendous significance for us up in Canada. So I think it's a good time for investors to have a hard look at the juniors and say, well, who in here is going to be the one that's going to pop when things inevitably turn around? And I'm not predicting necessarily an immediate turnaround. I think we may be looking at, you know, things slowly getting moving, and perhaps by the summer in the fall. But we certainly think that, you know, we're well positioned in terms of our asset. We have a substantive resource already. We have a lot of infrastructure advantages at Hopebrook. We have power. We have a good road network. We're on tidewater. We have tailing ponds. And I think above all, we are also in a very good mining-friendly political jurisdiction. We have a lot of local support for the project, a lot of locals work for us. We use a lot of local suppliers. And this has become an increasingly significant issues for mining companies around, around the world. So, it's interesting. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, I have had a number of investors call me about the project and giving them an update, just as I'm doing to you. And, they recognize it as a solid project. They recognize that the management team here has a solid track record of doing this and mining. Mining is a tough business. You really need people that know what they're doing. And they like the fact that it is in Canada, in Newfoundland, in a good jurisdiction. So I think it's a good time for people to look at companies like Castilian. You know, do your homework. We have lots of information on our website. Everything's on SEDAR. But those are the companies, I think, that in the next 3 to 6 months will start moving. And that's where the leverage is, and the smart investors, are, I think, looking at things now very, very seriously. They're not jumping in, but they're definitely going through and looking at it and putting their list of companies that they feel have an opportunity to move forward. And we certainly hope to be that investors will have a hard look at Castilian and put it on their list.
And what are some of the goals and milestones there that you and the team are hoping to accomplish over the course of the next year?
Well, the biggest thing that we would like to do is to put ourselves in a position where we can get that next 8 to 10,000 meter drill program, drill off that near surface target zone, as well as fill in the drilling to the north and a little below it, so that we can outline a significantly expanded resource on which we can base a PEA. There's also a number of targets that we have identified in the existing resource we have where we can upgrade it. In fact, in the last program, one of them that was on our list, there was a stope in the upper part of the mine in the southern part that appeared to be broken but never pulled, but we couldn't decide which it was based on the old record, so we left it in there as waste in the last resource. Well, we drilled two holes in there and got 2.5 grams over 20 meters, 15, 20 meters, so obviously it's there. So there's things like that. That could add... that will certainly add to the resource, but also it will take away waste. The other thing that we plan to do is we've been moving along the technical work needed for a PEA. We did quite a bit of metallurgical testing last fall. We've confirmed an 86% recovery, which is a little better than the average recovery at the old mine. We think we can do some more work on that and get it up to hopefully close to or at 90%. We also have to do some geotechnical and environmental work. Again, we've already done some baseline environmental studies, so we're gradually moving this along. And the intent is to get into a position, I hope, by sort of certainly by the fall. It will depend on available financing, obviously, but that we'll have all the technical pieces in place and a substantially expanded resource, although we already have a very substantive resource, that will allow us to move forward and do a PEA and at the same time continue exploration. Because the one thing that continues to be shown when we do the work here, this is a huge system, far bigger than anyone previously has appreciated. And it's typical of protozoic gold systems worldwide. These are huge systems in big rifts, long-lived. And certainly all the science and technical work we were doing continues to build on that picture. So if you want to find a big deposit, get in a big system. This is a big system. I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, we've only done 36,000 meters of drilling so far, which is a relatively modest amount. Yes, we have the advantage of some of the historical drilling, but a lot of that, frankly, wasn't as valuable as we had hoped. Largely because of recovery issues with the old core. Kaminak, for example, has done 120,000 meters to their resource. Remarco down in Hale in South Carolina, which is a deposit that's got some geological comparisons to Hope Rook, they've done over 300,000 meters. So, you know, honestly, we've really scratched the surface here, but with the technical work we've done, our recognition of these fold structures and our ability to predict where these mineralized silicified zones go, it means that we can do very focused, very surgical drill programs going forward, which will allow us to expand the resource quite rapidly. So I think we're very, very well positioned. I'm very pleased where we are technically. Obviously, I wish we had a better market, but certainly, there's no doubt that I see all the pieces in place, and I think one more drill program we can get to the PEA territory. And then we've got so many infrastructure advantages. We have a province that really would like to see us build a mine there. So, you know, we have a lot of positives here that will continue to impact on the project and obviously increase its value, which is where the leverage is for any investor looking at our company.
Sure, and so perhaps you can walk us through your background and experience, Bill, and talk a little bit about the management.
Sure, be happy to. You know, my background is a geologist. I went to school originally in UBC where I did my bachelor's. I did my master's PhD at Queen's. I've been working continuously since I graduated with my bachelor's. I'm on year 39 now. I have worked all over the world, and not just visiting properties, but actually working on running programs. And I've worked on everything from grassroots exploration through to advanced development, feasibility studies, and production. I spent a lot of time in mines, and I think that's important experience when you're in exploration. Ultimately, your goal is find the mine and get the ore to the mill and predict it accurately. You know, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, I was the first guy on the ground in Jacobina for Desert Sun. A lot of parallels between Jacobina and Hope Rook, actually, because Jacobina, everybody thought it was a it didn't have any potential, that everything had been found. You know, it was too low grade, and we ended up working away. We did the same process I'm doing at Hope Rook. We put all the data together. We reinterpreted the geology. We had a huge success when we hit the big south extension of Canaveras. We had some fantastic values in that. And eventually, we just kept building and building the resource, and Peter Tagliamondi, who was the CEO, was busy building the mine, and the whole thing came together, and we poured the first gold bar in the end of March 2005, and then we were bought by Yamana a year later. And all the work we had done, initially the market didn't really give us much value, but once they realized, hey, this thing's going to work, it took off. And similarly, when I was down in Nicaragua, the old greenstone properties, everyone thought they had no potential, they were really poor grade, blah, blah, blah. But the reality was the technical work was exceedingly poor, and we turned that around, built a strong team. So here I am in Hope Rook working on my hat trick here. I see the same parallels. Everybody thinks the mine was exhausted. Well, it was mined at sub 400. They were mining at a 2.5-gram cutoff. The gold price now is $1,650. People think after 10 years you should have done all the exploration. around the mine. Well, the fact is their deep drilling was too short, never hit the zone. And as we've demonstrated in our last program, even the shallow drilling didn't hit the target properly. They didn't know where they should be drilling. So this thing is actually wide open. And but like anything else, finding resources, developing a mine, takes some time. But, you know, we've only been at this about 2 years. This is pretty fast in the mining thing. So that's the kind of skill set I bring to the table. I built a very strong team in Newfoundland. Dave Copeland, who came on last year, is a 20-year veteran, knows the eastern part of the country extremely well. I've got a number of skilled geologists and technicians. I built up a very strong local team, and the fact that we were able to do 6,000 meters in less than 2 months attests to the high level that we operate at. And we also, as part of the Forbes Group, we have access to some very good engineering expertise. I've got two very experienced engineers on my board, Mike Hoffman, who I've known for years, worked with him in Bardi Engineering. He worked with Goldcorp, Rio Tinto, Rio Algum. He also worked with Desert Sun with me, and Brian Penny, who's currently CEO of CapEx, which just issued an amazing 7-billion-ton resource in the Labrador Trough. He's a metallurgist by background. So we have a very, very strong team here, and we also have the support of some excellent consultants. So one of the messages I always give to shareholders is you want to look at the project, what kind of project, but look at the people running it. Do they know the mining business? Do they know how to define a resource, take that resource and move it into a PEA and take it on to a pre-feas and feasibility and build a mine? And certainly I've been through all that a number of times. I know it's required, and it's essential that management have those skill sets, because mining is not an easy business, but if you do your work properly, you build a strong team, and you're in a really great mineralizing system like we are at Hope Brook, then you greatly increase the odds of success. So anyway, that's just a kind of a snapshot. But I'm very enthusiastic about this project, and it's actually got a lot of remarkable parallels to Jacobina. I mean, for the first 2 years in Jacobina, everyone thought we were nuts, that we were crazy, this wouldn't work, yada, yada, yada. And in fact, I was down in Jacobina in August, courtesy of Yamana. They'll be mining there for 25 years or more. The whole vision we had for Canaveras, that's what they're developing right now. So I'm bringing that same skill set to Hope Brook. I see a lot of the same indications, and, I think this year will be an exciting one, because I think investors will see with further work how the picture is really coming together, and that will really reflect in being able to further build the resource and as well as, move the engineering side along and show the world that, hey, Hope Brook can be a really, really good mine, which I certainly think it has the potential to be.
Sure. And so once again, joining us today is Bill Pearson, CEO of Castilian Resources, which trades on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol CT, and on the OTCQX, ticker symbol CTIIF. And before we conclude here, Bill, just to briefly recap some of the key points from the interview, and in less than a minute, can you can you talk about why investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, we have a great project in Hope Brook, our flagship. We already have a substantive resource there. We have 590,000 indicated and 548,000 inferred ounces of gold, of which the bulk of that is potentially open pittable. Our last drill program outlined a major near-surface target zone, which we think has potential to substantially increase the resource. We're in a huge system that really has been remarkably underexplored, but it did produce over 750,000 ounces in the past. We have a lot of excellent infrastructure. We're in a great jurisdiction, and we have the management and technical team to move this forward. And as an added bonus, we also have a very interesting project up in the Yukon in Canadian Creek right next to Kaminek that just recently announced a substantive resource. So we think, we've got the asset, we've got the team, and we think we're one of the companies that investors should have a hard look at, because when this market turns around, which inevitably will, we think there's a lot of upside in our stock.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today and update our investor audience on Constellation.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk to you.